Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 14, and whenever you find your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 14. Look with me what the Bible said in verse number 16. John 14, verse number 16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, we know that Jesus came and God sent him to the world to die for our sins, amen. And Jesus is fixing to ascend back into the heavens. And he says right here in verse number 16, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Now, watch this. "That he may abide with you forever." Now, for the sake of time, jump to verse 26. The Bible said this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, he says that I'm going to give you a Comforter. That Comforter is going to abide with you forever. And then verse 26, he tells us that that Comforter is the Holy Ghost, or we call him the Holy Spirit a lot of times today. And I want to preach to you just a little while on the ministry or the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on our life. God, thank you, Lord, for being good to us. And God, as we preach tonight, I pray, God, that you'd use us for just a little while. God, you know the need of the service. And I pray, God, that your will and way would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that everything that's said tonight would bring glory and honor to your name, God. And I pray, Lord, that for a little while you'd help us recall the things that we've studied. We'll give you every bit of the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. And I want to talk to you just a little while about the Holy Spirit tonight. And I may not get done with all of it tonight, but I want to say this about the Holy Ghost or about the Holy Spirit tonight. Probably in Christianity today, a lot of times we've got to remember this fact right here, that our Bible and our faith and Christianity within itself is simply centered around that word faith tonight. We believe the Bible by faith. We believe the Word of God by faith. We believe that there is a God today by faith. We believe in heaven by faith. We believe in hell by faith. Matter of fact, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. It's impossible to please God without faith. So keep that in your mind tonight as we're dealing with this subject of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God teaches that there is a God, and that God is manifested in three different personalities. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's God the Holy Ghost. And they are co-equal, they are co-eternal, and they are coexistence. Matter of fact, we refer to this triune Godhead as the Trinity so many times. I would say this, we hear a lot of preaching on God the Father, who God is. We hear a lot of preaching on God the Son, Jesus. And I would also say this, we don't hear much preaching on the Holy Ghost tonight or the Holy Spirit tonight. It seems that we are afraid to use those Bible terminologies of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit tonight. We have allowed the charismatic movement, and we have allowed the modern-day contemporary movement to shy us away from the Holy Ghost. But hear me tonight, he is a Bible person tonight. He is a Bible individual tonight. He is as much, listen to me, God is God is God. Some would say, well, where is the first mention of the Holy Ghost in the Bible? Well, Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. Well, the Bible said this, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, preacher, there's no mention of the Holy Ghost there. If you believe in the Trinity, there's a mention of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in Genesis 1:1. Matter of fact, if you study the word God out right there, you'll find that it means uniplurality. And it's simply a reference to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now you can go on to verse number 26 and find that he talks about the Spirit moving upon the deep. Now you'll also find, or in verse number 2, probably one way to describe the Trinity would be this. According to Genesis 1:26, we're made in the likeness of God. In other words, you and I, we are created in the likeness of God. Man was made in the image of God, or in the likeness of God. Now think about this. Are you ready? With our mind, we learn. With our body, we labor. And with our heart, we love. You see the Trinity? With our mind, we learn. With our body, we labor. With our heart, we love. Now, I want you to understand some things about the Holy Spirit tonight. It's probably one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the entire Word of God. Many think they know this doctrine, so often misuse it and misuse the truths concerning the Holy Ghost. Notice a couple things by way of introduction. Number one, watch this. The proper recognition of the Holy Ghost. Let me begin by saying the Holy Spirit is not an it. It moved upon me. No, it's not an it. It touched me. No, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person tonight. He is not some fantasy. He is not just a figure of our speech. He is a real living person. He's not a substitute for God. And I say that again. He's not a substitute for God. He's not even a servant of God. He's not a second-class God. Let me tell you what he is tonight. He's God. You said, preacher, I don't understand how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost can be three in one and one in three. The best thing to do is just believe it and thank God for it. And it's by faith tonight. It's by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. There is only one true and living God, and he has chosen to manifest himself in three personalities. Now, think about this. Here's a beautiful and a great illustration of the Trinity in Matthew chapter number 3. Jesus was being baptized, and here's what happens. Here we see God the Son coming out of the water, God the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting on the Son, and God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Man, there's a great picture of the Trinity at the same time. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A proper recognition of him is this. He is God tonight. He is God. When we say the Holy Ghost convicted me, we're saying God convicted me. When we're saying the Holy Ghost touched me, we're saying God touched me. When we're saying the Holy Ghost filled me, we're saying God filled me. So there's the proper recognition, but watch this. There's the primary roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given three major roles in the Word of God. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. Number one, he was given the responsibility of overseeing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, he was given the responsibility of overseeing the Bible, which is the Word of God. Number three, he was given the responsibility of overseeing a bride
for the Lord Jesus Christ. A study of the Scriptures will reveal that the Holy Spirit completed the job of overseeing the birth and brought forth a baby, a perfect baby. He finished the job of supervising the Bible and brought forth a perfect Word of God. He completed the job of overseeing the bride and bring forth a perfect bride in Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, here's what I want you to look at tonight. Don't you see three simple things about the Holy Ghost? Number one, are you with me tonight? Number one, He is inviting ministry to the sinner. Who is it that invites the sinner to be saved? Who was it the night that I was lost and on my road to hell that invited me to be saved? You want me to tell you who it was? It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the Holy Ghost that night. He came to where I was at and showed me my need of Him. His inviting ministry to the sinner. When we think about man, he is deprived in his nature. And when we think about man, he within himself will not come to God. Let me say that again. I got one halfway amen on that from Brother Kevin. It's like he thought he believed it, but he just didn't know if he did or not. Watch this. Man within himself is not going to come to God. You say, well, preacher, that's the reason I got saved, because I come to God. You let me tell you the reason you come to God, though, because the Holy Ghost come to where you was at and said you was lost and on the road to hell and you needed a Savior. That's why you come to Him. He is inviting ministry to the sinner. He is inviting ministry to the sinner. I thought about this. Abraham sent the servant to the land of Mesopotamia, the land from whence they had come to take a bride for Isaac in Genesis chapter 24. He sent that servant away, and when that servant went away, he had one thing that he wanted to do. That was to bring a bride back to his father. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost does. Here's what the Holy Ghost does. Boy, I wish I had an hour to preach at. The Holy Ghost is seen as a type through that servant. And here's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost comes to faulty man and lowly man and sinful man. And here's what He does. He said, there's a God in heaven that really does love you, and He wants you to come be the bride of His Son. You know what you do? Here's exactly what you did. Number one, you done one of two things. Number one, you rejected it. Or number two, you received it. Thank God that night that the Holy Ghost came to me and said, hey, I know somebody that loved you and gave his life for you, and he wants you to be his bride. You know what I've done? Thank God I received it. But the reason that I'm saved tonight, it's because the Holy Ghost come to where I was at and convicted me. So number one, I could preach an hour there. He is inviting ministry to the sinner. Number two, watch this. He is indwelling ministry to the saved. You see, when I got saved, He invited me to come. The Holy Ghost did. Amen. God, through the work of the Holy Ghost, invited me. But when I went, guess what happened then? I said, yes. And He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move in. I'm going to move in and take up abode in your life. You see, before salvation, I ought to just slow down and preach about an hour and a half tonight. Before salvation, the Holy Ghost was just knocking. The Holy Ghost was just saying, come. After salvation, the Holy Ghost moved in my life. Can I just say this? The day I got saved, listen to me, I got all the Holy Ghost I'm ever going to get. You say, oh, I'm praying that I'll get the Holy Ghost. Are you saved? You got it. You hear what I just said? You have the Holy Ghost the day I got saved, every bit of the Holy Ghost that I ever could have took up abode in my life. And until I die and go to heaven, it's the Holy Ghost that has my salvation sealed. Did you hear what I just said? He said, whereby we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You mean, Jay, what keeps my salvation sealed? The Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost, I don't have this in my notes, but I think I'll preach it a minute. If the Holy Ghost leaves me, then you know what could happen? The seal could be broken and my salvation might run away. But he's not. Let me tell you the reason why. The day I got saved, the day I realized I was lost, the day I realized I was on the road to hell, thank God, and I asked him to come into my heart and save me. Boy, I just didn't get fire insurance. I got the Holy Ghost that moved in my life and indwells in me now. Well, what's he doing in there? You ever thought about that? Now that we got him, Daddy's got a message, and I ain't heard him preach it in a while, and he ain't going to preach for a while now, so I may go get it out of his closet, Brother Nicholas, or out of his office, and it's on Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and Brother Josh, he preaches on what's he doing sitting there. I might go get that and preach it, because then Daddy will go preach it somewhere. Now go, you know what I heard your boy preach at? What's the Holy Ghost doing now that he's indwelling in my life? Well, can I just show you a few things? He has a ministry of consolation in John 14:16. He has a ministry of education. He has a ministry of glorification. He has a ministry of administration. Did you catch that? Administration, John 16. He is who guides me now. He's who leads me now. The Holy Ghost administers my life. Watch this. He has a ministry of liberation. He has a ministry. What does that mean? That word liberation means to set free. Oh, yeah, good neighbor. I was lost, I was bound, I was locked up in the chains of sin. Oh, but thank God the night I got... Y'all ready to go home, and I'm ready to preach. Thank God the night I got saved, all of the bondage and all of the change of this world, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, the Holy Ghost moved in and liberated me. You ever see people walks around that just looks like they're in bondage all the time? They say, well, I want to thank God for saving me. I mean, God forbid you let your arm get up any higher than right here. Are you with me? Oh, the Lord's just so good. Well, you really act like it. I'm going to tell you something. If he ever does for you what he's done for me, oh, yes, I remember where I was at. I remember the lives that I lived in. I remember the life that I had. Oh, but thanks be unto God for the night the Holy Ghost moved in my life and liberated me. It's a ministry of liberation. What is the Holy Ghost? It's a ministry of identification. It's a ministry of supplication. The Holy Ghost has a ministry of supplication. So how do you get that? Well, have you ever read over there in the Bible where it talks about when you didn't know what to pray because you're so overloaded? And over there about Romans chapter number 8. And it says this, the Holy Ghost makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you've never been at a place in your life, I promise you it'll come one day if you're saved, that you'll fall down on your knees, or you'll be riding up the road, or you'll be sitting at the house, and your heart will be so overwhelmed. The burden will be so great that all you know how to do is go, oh God. And I'm telling you, there's been some times in recent days where I couldn't even go, oh God. All I could, Oh, yes, all I could do was lay prostrate out before God and tears run down my face. And you know what the Holy Ghost was doing? Here's what the Holy Ghost was doing. He was looking back up to heaven to God the Son. And he was saying, here's what he's trying to say. Here's the prayers he's trying to pray. Thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. It's a ministry of intercession. It's not only a ministry of intercession, it's a ministry of supplication. It's a ministry of preservation. I've already preached that, but Holy Ghost is what preserves us. It's what seals us. Amen. It's what seals us. There's a big controversial topic today. It's not controversial, it's just ignorance. I'm going to lose some people right here, but it'll be all right. And I hope some of them in this area that believes this junk's watching this and will call me tonight, because I'm going to be sitting at the hospital all night and I ain't going to have nothing to do. This ideal of losing your salvation. Number one, it's not mine to lose. I didn't buy it. Hello, Tokyo. I didn't do nothing to merit it. There was nothing I could do to get it but realize I was lost and beg for mercy. So, number one, it's not mine to begin with. It's his. Somebody say amen. But also, he said the Holy Ghost sealed us to the day of redemption. That's when Jesus comes back to get us in the rapture. Amen. Are you with me right there? So to say that I can lose my salvation is to say that I'm bigger than God, and what God sealed, I can take God's seal away. I'm strong. Everybody all right? I'm stronger than God. I'm more mindful than God. I'm smarter than God. Hear me and hear me well. I got saved July the 20th, 1994, and I've never been lost since then. I've failed God. I've missed the mark many times, but I've never been lost. Here's the reason why. The Holy Ghost of God, God Himself, seals me. That's why. So number one, here it is. I'm done. Inviting ministry to the sinner. He invites us to be saved. The indwelling ministry to the saved. Boy, what he does for us. But then, number three, the infilling ministry for service. The infilling ministry for service. And I want to slow down right here and give you this in closing. If you study the Word of God seriously, you'll find that the Holy Spirit comes unto a sinner with his inviting ministry. He comes into a saint with his indwelling ministry. Listen to me. He comes upon the servants of God with his infilling ministry to give them power for service. There's nowhere in the Scripture, everybody listening to the preacher, there's nowhere in the Scripture that we are told to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The moment that the person is born again, he is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It is not something you seek. Is a part of salvation experience. I lost half of you. Hope you'll go back and listen to that again. The moment that a person is born again, he is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It's not something you seek. It's a part of our salvation. Ephesians 5:18 says this, Christians are commanded, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Notice, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This command is given to every child of God. Now I'm wrapping down, but I want you to hear me. There, come start playing. They give them some hope. There's a great difference. There's a great difference between being baptized by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you study the literal meaning of the two words, baptized and filled, you will understand the difference. To be baptized means that one is put into something. But being filled means that something is being put into an individual. To be baptized is to be put into something. To be filled is something to be put into you. Amen. I hope I'm not losing tonight, because this is good preaching even if I am doing it. To be baptized means that one is put into something. But being filled means that something is being put into an individual. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will have the power of God upon his life. To be filled with the Holy Spirit literally means the Christian has yielded complete control of his life to the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means there must be a continuous inflow and a continuous outflow and a continuous overflow of the Spirit of God in a person's life. When this happens, the Holy Spirit will use that person in God's service for the glory of God. What did he say in Acts? He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. What is it? It's him coming in us and flowing through us. Him coming in us and flowing through us. He is in filling ministry for service. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, Sunday school teacher, you ever been teaching? While you was teaching, man, you quoted three or four verses you didn't even know that you knew. You said some things and thought, well, I didn't even know that I knew those things about the Bible. Let me tell you what it was. The Holy Spirit had infilled you, and you was allowing that to flow through you. Preacher, you ever been preaching? All of a sudden, Brother Austin, it seemed like it was dry as cracker juice. Just all of a sudden, man. Just all, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Josh? Just all of a sudden, man. It's just like, It's like, well, I'd say it this way, Brother John Brewer. It's like you was going up the road in a 400-horsepower vehicle and purged the nitrous and hit a 300 shot. All of a sudden, it's like, you with me? Let me tell you what that is. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God into the servant's life to use them. And I want to say something to you. That's for every child of God. It's not just the preacher that can enjoy that. It's for every child of God. Now, I want to give you something in closing. I got four more pages of notes. I'm just going to close my iPad, okay? I'll give you something in closing. Nowhere do you find in the Bible, now if you want me to preach all this, I will, that speaking in tongues is a proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never find it nowhere in the Bible. But you will find this, whether they shall be tongues, they shall cease. You will find this, and any time they did speak in tongues, it was in a language for somebody else to understand, and there was an interpreter there. You will find this. Don't nobody throw rocks at me right now. Okay, I'm done. You'll not find that the women was doing it anywhere. You take that out of churches today that's speaking in tongues, and it just about cease. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not against women. I'm married to a woman. I got three daughters. I got five nanny goats, and both my dogs are girls. Okay? My mama's a woman. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Nowhere in there You don't have to surely got a Honda to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Matter of fact, you start jibber-jabbering around here, and I'm going to interpret it. And you just matched the $30,000 that was given this week, and now it's $60,000. And the next one, you're going to match the $60,000, and you keep on, praise God, we'll pay the building off. It's not what it is. That's not what the Holy Ghost is. I tell you what the Holy Ghost is. Those small, still moments of your life when nobody else is around and you wonder if you can put one foot in front of another. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. And all of a sudden, something just swells up inside of you and goes, it'll be all right. Just keep on preaching, son. Just keep on singing, honey. Just keep on teaching. Just go back. Make sure you're in your place on Sunday morning. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. That's what it is. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost is. Here's the Holy Ghost. You say something you shouldn't say, and all of a sudden, something inside of you goes, hey, hey, hey. Anybody ever been there? And your wife wasn't around. You said it to her, but you's already walked off from her. And your husband wasn't around, because I know the way you women talk to us every once in a while. Sometimes I wonder if the Holy Ghost talks to my wife after she talks to me. But anyway, her and Joanna's got some kind of little pact now that if we talk about them in the pulpit, we have to buy them a new dress. Last time I checked, we was ahead of the house. But I ain't going to say much about my wife. She got the checkbook. When you say that thing you're not supposed to say, all of a sudden something goes, hey, son. Hey, you shouldn't have said that. You need to go back and apologize. Boy, it's okay that he tells me I shouldn't say it, but when he tells me I got to go back and apologize, and you go, sorry. And you walk off, and he goes, no, go back again and do it right. Y'all saying, I ain't never experienced that. Well, maybe you didn't get the same Holy Ghost I got. I promise you my flesh don't say do that. Somebody say amen. The flesh says, go back over there and tell them again. Tell them louder. Snap your finger when you tell them it's time. Come on. The Holy Ghost goes, you better not do that. That's what the Holy Ghost is. When you're sitting in service and they start singing about the grace of God, something inside just goes to bubbling. And before you know it, you've went, tell you what that is. Hey, look, you've never truly worshiped until you embarrass the flesh. Next time you raise your hand, hold it up 3 seconds after you think you should have already taken it down. So I'm just bringing glory to myself. Well, then don't put it up to begin with. But if you're not bringing glory to yourself, all of a sudden you'll go, oh, whoa, wait a minute, what's that doing up there? Let me tell you something that blessed me this morning. Probably nobody else in the church saw it. Probably nobody else. But boy, I'm telling you, when it happened, I about come unglued. When Addie got to singing about the grace of God, and that teenage girl raised her hand over there. And it was almost one of them moments like, whoa, wait a minute. I'll tell you what was happening. It's the Holy Ghost, man, stirring up inside of us. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Father.